Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to your virtue, add knowledge. And to knowledge, add temperance, self-control, discipline. And to temperance, add patience. Father, bless your word this morning. Let your word find somebody today. Let that word be planted like a seed. Let it grow. And let it bring forth a mighty harvest. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Now, last week, first service, I believe, I was sharing about temperance. Temperance and patience are kind of Siamese twins. They always seem to go together. And you see, it's very important for us to appreciate what the Lord is saying here. A lot of people are listening, but they are not hearing. They are not hearing what God is saying. Faith cometh when we hear, and hear by God's word. So you can be hearing, but you are not hearing by God's word. The power of God is only released when we hear. Faith is produced. It's a byproduct of the revelation of God. You cannot really believe in God until you have heard God. A man cannot really believe in God until he has heard God. He may claim to believe because he has what is known as the human faith. But really, in the sense of the word, for you to have the kind of faith that Jesus refers to, the faith of God. And so the scripture says, have the faith of God. There's a faith of God. There's a faith by which God himself operates and manifests himself. That before God reveals himself to a man, God would have determined that that man has what he takes within himself to believe him and to accept him for what he is. The scripture says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 that he that must come to him must believe that he is. That means he's a self-existent God. Whether you receive him or not is irrelevant. He is God. That is his nature. He cannot help but be God. That is his DNA. He cannot choose not to be God. That is who he is. The lion will never eat grass. It is just in the nature and the DNA of that particular animal. And that is why one of the greatest ways to release the highest potential of your faith is not when you study about something in scripture. It's when you have a revelation of God. We all need it. We need a revelation from God, of God, of God, of God. When you have a revelation of God, it affects the way you worship him. It alters the way you sing. You don't need a keyboard or a drum. You don't need to be happy to worship him. You might be in the middle of the ocean, and like the man who sang that song, "It is well with my soul," and you might have suffered a major catastrophe. And yet, because of what you know about him and what you know of him, you are able to lift your hands to God and say, whether good or bad, I give you glory. When bad things happen to people, what you hear is, why? God, why? And many times, why not? For your faith to operate at its highest level, you need the revelation of God. If not, the devil will be telling you God is not faithful. And the devil will be giving you evidence and proof. You forgot that there was a time that you could have lost your life and people would have forgotten about you. I think it was recently, we had an incident in Ondo State, and there was a party going on in Abuja. A party. Right? A party was going on there. They didn't want to waste the food. Now, the first person that your faith, the first person benefits is you. Whatever you know of God, benefits you. If you lie and say you know God, meanwhile you don't know him, the result is in your hands. But Paul was saying, Peter was saying to us that there are certain things that we call enhancers, supplements that must be added for your faith to operate at its optimum level and performance. And he gave us seven. And one of it is what he referred to as patience. And I said to you that patience and temperance are closely related. In James chapter 1 verse 4, the word of God says, but let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. James chapter 1 and verse 4. Let patience have a perfect work. Everything God wants to do in your life, we go through a process. Everything God wants to do in your life, we follow a particular process. If you bypass the process, you circumvent what God is trying to do. The beauty of what God is trying to do, you break it. Say, let patience. That means after you have prayed, you must enter into the dimension of faith that is known as patience. It may look like it's a long journey, but believe me, it's better for you. It's better. It's better. One of the ways we know a man of faith is in his ability to demonstrate patience. It's not by being loud. We can take you to the lab, and if we can test your patience level, and it's very high, I think those things, in those they call it titrate or something. Is it chemistry or biology lab? Chemistry lab. Titer value, we check it. And when you check it, they say, the thing is high, it's in his body. Oh, Alara. Somebody that didn't know what it meant to be HIV positive felt that anything that was positive meant it was good. So, because God is always plus, Satan is minus. He didn't know that for HIV is the other way. Say, if this thing can just be positive. I said, my brother, go and check your level. You don't even know what you're talking about. They are the same way people talk about what they don't know. And most times, those who are very loud don't know. Those who are very loud don't know. Those who are holding this country hostage are very loud, but they don't know. And those that know, we never get there. Pastor Ego was asking me yesterday, like, Pastor, are you going to give a prophetic perspective to what is going on in the nation? I said, no. I said, no. I said, because you will now have to choose between a vampire and a ferocious animal in the forest. Those are your options. So I have nothing to say. And in case you are deceiving yourself, one pastor asked me, he said, are we mobilizing people to go and vote? And I warned him never to come and chat with me. Because the question is not to tell you to go and vote. The question is to vote for who? The system that produces those candidates is what we should be interested in. Not the final one where they beg you and tell you it is your duty. So if I have to choose between the devil, it is my duty. No, it is my duty not to vote if I find that there's nobody credible. Yes. It's my duty not to vote. I cannot vote if I feel that this guy is going to sell me short. Moreover, I'm reminded yesterday of the prophecy I gave about a woman that will rise in government. She will be between number 2 and number 3 in ranking. I'm still waiting for that woman. And there is one of these candidates now, if he selects that woman, it's going to be a game changer. But I don't know how it will happen. So, let it go. Just go and get ready. You understand? It's going to be a bumpy ride for the next 8 years. Whoever wins. Because those that put their trust in man will fail. If you like, use Bible verses to be defending any candidate. They that put their trust in man will fail. It's an insult to use the word of God to alter it because of a man who you don't even know his spiritual status. There are some things we do, this generation. It shows that we have no regard. We have not been properly taught to use the scripture and alter it, change it. You don't know God. You don't know God. God gave John an entire book of the Bible, of Revelations, and warned him, if you alter anything, whether by joke, by mistake, there's nothing like, oh, I didn't know. So we are raising Christians here, people who have a regard for God and for his word, not people who are moved by the noise in the market. It's in the same vein when God says that a man, for his faith to be active, he says that man must be a patient person. But somewhere in your mind, you are asking, what's the correlation between faith and patience? Go and look at the 7 elements in this scripture. All of them have to do with conduct. Come on, are you with me now? I said the 7 elements in 2 Peter chapter 1 have to do with conduct. That God says, if I do not see a kind of man arise in the earth, there are certain things I will not release. Is it virtue, good conduct, moral excellence? And moral excellence does not mean you cannot be tempted. It only means that you have found a reason within you to stand for righteousness. Because sometimes people beat themselves up and think that the reason why they are failing as Christians is because they have temptations. No. Jesus was also tempted. But the power to tell yourself that this is not me, this is the Adamic man. There are only two types of men on earth. Adam, the first Adam and the last Adam. So that you are sitting in the car or in the office with somebody does not mean you are of the same race. And I hope you know Adam was not the first man. Adam was the first man in God's image. Leave that one. So God started the book of Genesis from where his identity was revealed. God was going to recreate the earth in Genesis chapter 1. He didn't do it in one day. He did it in 7. Say, let patience have a perfect work so that you will be wanting nothing. Have you ever tried to download a cracked version of a software? And then as you try to install it, it started prompting you and saying, get one plugin, one JavaScript error. And you started seeing all kind of things. It's because of where you got it from. You went on Google and typed cracked version. So that thing was missing certain things. Sometimes you have to start looking for one key that you will type into that particular software to make it have a similitude of the real thing. Even up to your Microsoft suite, your packages, to be telling you cannot do certain things because you bought that thing from Computer Village. Do you feel bad when you buy those things under the bridge? But the white man doesn't understand you. Why you would think the authentic, the most genuine place to get a software is under the bridge? He doesn't understand it. But that is our reality. There is nothing that will be of significance and will stand the test of time if patience has not tested it. There is nothing that will be of significance, whether in your life or in a nation, that will be of significance until God permits patience. Test this one. The sin of Eve was not the sin of eating the fruit. It was the sin of patience. Impatience. She couldn't wait for her husband to come. This one, you eat this, you become like God. Satan should have told them they were already gods. But Satan is a master twister. He will twist the truth and be telling you that you are, God has forgotten you. Meanwhile, you are at the edge of a major breakthrough. He said, let patience. The moment you pray and fast and release your faith, and you notice that there seems to be a major pause, what God is saying is, allow patience to do his work. Because what we do is that we begin to climb several mountains and we begin to bind and loose, trying to circumvent time. And God says, look, If you are going to amount to anything with me, you cannot bypass the process that patience will bring. And patience will test you. Patience will test you to your limit. It will test you to your bones. You will become offended. It's just like John the Baptist being in prison and Jesus, his cousin, was out there doing miracles, giving people blind eyes and doing all kind of stuff. And his cousin, the one that anointed him and ordained him, was... Say this guy, he says, his family is... You will hear John in the prison say, family is tough. John will be advising the other prisoner, family, this guy, if you know what I did for him. Haven't you heard such things before? See, if you see what I did when she came to this office, I was the one that helped her. I gave her... people talk and like, wow. So why is she so terrible? You are a John. That's a Jesus. Jesus did not even flinch. He sent a message back to John. He said, blessed are those who shall not be offended in me. That means the moment you give in to the temptation of impatience, the next thing at your doorstep is offense. And let me tell you, when Satan brings impatience to you, he will be showing you areas of your life where God has not touched. He will tell you that God is not faithful. He will tell you that all those times you said you heard God, it was your mind. Why are you still here? Why are you still living in Mushi? Why are you still living under the bridge? Why did you lose your job? Why did that person lose the life partner? Why did that person lose a child? Satan will be reminding you with evidence. If you have not established your relationship with God to the point where, whether by death or life, you are with him, the voice of impatience will be so loud, it will knock you off. Impatience is why many people run ahead of God and say, Enya is God. Is God. I don't have a problem with people living for the US or Canada or anywhere. But I have a problem with the mindset. Are you going as a missionary Christian? Or are you going because you are running away from the next 8 years? You see, the average Christian is spiritual as long as there's no pressure on him. The moment there is a demand and a pull that is placed upon him, he begins to rationalize. So when Satan wants to take out of the will of God, he doesn't just appeal to your emotions, he appeals to your rationality. You now begin to say, after all, as a Christian, pastor said, a man of destiny has no problem with location. He can live anywhere and survive. He can live anywhere and thrive. He can. I say, yes, why is he not leading you to Damaturu? Can you ever pray now and hear my daughter, arise and go to Damaturu, for I've prepared a land for you? It's not me, it's my mind. It can't be God. How can God tell me to go to Damaturu? How can God tell me to go to South Korea? Or even North Korea? How can God tell me to go to China? When you are not a businessman. China, from the airport, you are already lost. But you are, can't be God. It can't be God. It takes patiently following the Lord, following him, even when his ways are not clear, for you to mature in certain things. And like Kenneth E. Hagin said, faith is simply acting on God's word. It has no regard for emotions. It has no regard or recourse to how you feel. If God says you are healed, you are healed. If God says you are going to travel, you are going to travel. It has nothing to do with scheming. A lot of people are scheming and are saying it is God. And God says, I am not aware of this one. The challenge in the nation now requires every young person to live. Every young person to live. This is the first time I sat up with my wife all through the night to watch a primary election. I mean, like, I sat up and there was a woman there that stepped down and she was dancing. And they were singing for her. Such a shameless person. She was, and I asked, somebody of your character, The question now is, how did you get the 100 million? How much did ASU ask for? 18 billion or so? Do you know how much was spent there? And we have young people whose specialization is only on Twitter. That's their area of calling. The average person doesn't really want change, but they are hoping God will use somebody else. Many people don't see themselves as the agent of change, and which is why many are saying, God, when? And God is saying, not you. Because somewhere in your mindset, you are not thinking like an Elisha. Do you notice that most of the errors that Elijah made, Elisha did not make them? Elisha became a very calm person because he saw that you could be anointed but very destructive. The first thing he did as a minister of God when the double portion came upon him was to kill 42 children. And God never came to say, young man, I just anointed you. Why are you killing people? It was never an issue in his ministry. In fact, it was not a blemish. It was a warning. That if you try this guy that is bald-headed, he doesn't have hair, but the ororo on his head is onshon, is conk. Since that day, that guy became a very calm person. There are lessons only patience will teach you. You just sit down, you observe. Every great industry did not start and make it in one day. They went through a process. Because for that thing to be sustainable, you must develop strength of character. Strength of character, which an average African lacks. An average African believes in, boom, the supernatural dimension. But God is a God of patience. God is a God of process. God doesn't just want to make you great. He wants greatness to flow through you so that you are part of the process. You are part of the system. You can measure your growth. You have one major client and you are able to work with that major client. And over time, God gives you two and gives you three. By the time you know what it means to manage and take care of two clients, because they must not go. They must not go. You have to be called. I just want them to say, hello, sir. How are you, sir? How's your business? How's your family? To remember their birthdays, the birthdays of their children that you have no business with. And you are asking yourself, why am I doing this thing? God say, patience. This is how to learn. Patience. And let me tell you, many have lost major seasons in their lives because they were not patient. And really, you should hear this one. Many have lost major seasons in their lives because they were not patient with God. Go and check Abraham. Go and check Joseph. Go and check Daniel. Jesus was anointed, started demonstrating that anointing from the age of 12, yet God required him to be quiet for 18 years. You know what it means to be anointed? To be teaching adults and Pharisees, doctors of the law, from the age of 12. He didn't know that thing at Jesus. He knew it before 12, because he was already talking about them at 12. So he knew them before he came to that meeting. And yet, God mandated him to be quiet. There are certain capacities you only learn in silence. You learn them when you are patient. You can talk about, I'm going to write this exam, I'm going to get a master's, I'm going to get a PhD. You get the PhD in your dream. I got an invite 2 months ago. Though I didn't go, but maybe I'll go next year. I got an invite for honorary doctorate degree from London Business School. Somebody recommended me. So they wanted me to come to Dubai and collect, do the thing. So they sent the mail this week. You want me to come next week? Maybe they thought that's how we keep money in Nigeria. So I say next year, Abeg. Somebody actually referred me. So you just see me, London Business School, Dubai. Doctorate degree. Meanwhile, my own school here, we are yet to determine when we'll convocate. But without the master's degree, somebody is offering me a doctorate. Let patience have a perfect work. You may be that shining star, but learn how to bask in the shining of other people. Don't just be so, you know, some people hear about the breakthrough that is happening, they become depressed. You don't need to be depressed. Your life is not the same. We had some of those people when I was growing up, they built their houses when we didn't have a plot of land. Built houses. But when you came to build yours, you built with the latest designs. So theirs became outdated. Be patient. The life of a man does not consist in the abundance of things he has, but in the God that he possesses. So if you have God, you are never at a disadvantage. God wants us as Christians to learn patience. It's not an anointing, you learn it. That's why I told you, patience and self-control, they go together. You want to be disciplined? You want to have self-control? Then somebody will come to your office and point at your face and tell you, "Who are you? I don't bloody care who you are. I'm going to put you in your place." And you are looking at this person. You saw her file when she came in. She is the age mate of your second younger sister. Not even the first. Second or third. But she came and God wanted, you said, "God, teach me patience like Jesus." And that brother sitting beside you like, "Hey, I wish this brother knows what he's praying about." He said, "I want to be like Jesus. I want to be..." You want to be like Jesus. Okay, send the informer to him. The informer comes. And you just mistakenly step on her nice shoes. And then she asks you, if you have two eyes, you can't see who is in front of you. And she begins to address your destiny. The kind of thing nobody has ever said to you, she begins to talk about it. And she wants you, never in your life, to try that nonsense again. It's just as sure. She didn't even give you the opportunity to say you are sorry. And when you wanted to speak back that, "What is wrong with you?" God said, "Be quiet. Suck it up." There was a particular brother, a man of God, who was preaching in a particular city. He started a church. And the church was growing very slowly. And he started praying this prayer, which, by the way, is a very good prayer. "Lord, make me like Jesus." He started praying the prayer. After some time, he was in, you know, he came to church, was preaching like the way I'm preaching now. And a lady just walked in, carried a baby, and dropped it at the altar. I say, "You thought you can hide. This is the result of the exam we both wrote." I put the baby there, and the whole church, pastor, church scattered. He wanted to say, "I don't know this woman. I'm seeing her for the first time." God said, "You want to be like Jesus? Church will scatter." Let it scatter. I said, "I no go grill." When I heard that story, I said, "We know. Keep your patience. I don't want to be patient again. Let me address this." "What? You want to destroy the work of God?" God said, "Shh." The guy sat there and started weeping. He wanted to leave the baby. He's not my child. He wanted to leave the baby and walk away. God asked him, "So what would I have done in this case?" "So I take care of you." He said, "Take the baby home." That's how he became a father overnight. A single brother became a father overnight. He didn't wake up that morning with a word of knowledge that today I'm going to change your life. He just became a father, learned how to change nappy, feed a child, carry a child. Overnight, no tutorial, no nothing. Just straight into the game. The brother was humbled. He lost the ministry. So he focused his ministry on that boy. Started teaching that boy. Started ministering to that boy. That's the only member. Is that a good place to be? Even pastors will turn their back on you. Just be doing well, and be doing good. Those people you call your best friend, when God shows you who you will not want to have friend again. The lady came back years after. The boy was already grown. The man had started another small church. Say, she's sorry. She was frustrated. She didn't know what to do. She decided to punish an innocent brother. The brother could not even marry up to that time because of that stigma. Now, don't try it. I'll get you arrested. By God's grace, I've learned patience. Don't test me with this kind of thing. But you know, it's a tough one. You are thinking, like now, the application to Canada, everything. Somebody does bring a child and say, and you are just lost. Now, it may not even be a child you may not know anything about. It may be something that happened in your family, and your mom just called you, and your dad said, "This is your sister's younger brother. Be taking care." They are not aware you are planning to jackpot. You are just here. You are, so all of a sudden, you have a boy. Nobody asks you if it's okay. But in this family, we take care of ourselves. So that is your turn now. You start taking care of. Start taking care of a boy. You have to be training him. Training him. Meanwhile, you are on your one leg is already at the airport. What I'm sharing with you is how not to lose your faith in Christ. It's easier said, though, and it is other people's story that is sweet to listen to. But could it be peradventure that you are where you are today because you failed to exhibit or demonstrate certain levels of patience? Do you know that Saul lost his kingdom because he could not wait for Samuel? He said, wait for me. When I come, I will offer the sacrifice. But the guy, due to the pressure of what people will say, you have some family, some office occasion, you meet this guy for the first time, say, how can a pretty lady like you not be engaged? It's possible. It is not what he said that hurt you. It is the fact that somebody thinks you are beautiful enough not to be engaged or married. Then you now begin to think, this my situation is getting very... people are getting concerned for me. It's better for you to be like this than to step into a marriage that will end your life. You may not agree, but that's the truth. And if you think you're a brother that you are insulated, may I tell you, brothers are also dying now. Ladies are killing men in their marriages. Because some ladies they traveled abroad, they went for Kung Fu classes as extracurricular, no credit, just attend, and they learned a few things. But you didn't know, because you see her wearing wig, you think that the girl is like that. You don't know that this girl is your girl. Patience. Listen to me, there's no way on earth Jesus would have been able to fulfill his mandate between Gethsemane and resurrection if he was not a patient person. The psalmist says, wait patiently for the Lord. Wait! God will always come through for his own, but wait. Please, don't confuse waiting for confusion. Because some people are in a state of confusion and they think they are waiting. No. Waiting means that you have a knowing of the Lord that it will come through for you, and that your faith, one of the elements of patience, is confident trust in the Lord. You are waiting on the Lord for the Lord, knowing that it will come through for you. Because many people, this is why they are not praying again. They are not praying again. They just believe that, if I pray, that pastor said, before he prayed, in Jesus' name, God, the prayer was answered. But they prayed for you. And God is passing you through a process. That is, it's amazing how you come into your calling, or when you are being anointed at the altar, they anoint you and say, let's celebrate Reverend Emiko Gula. And they ordain you, and people come and shake your hand, and they say, we always knew you would make it. They shake your hand. That day, you will find thousands of people in that cathedral. Then, after that meeting, on Monday, you all go to the headquarters and collect your letter of posting. Then they post you to Igbokoda. If you don't know where Igbokoda is, do you know where? If you don't know where Igbokoda is, raise your hand. Now, I see now. You see what I'm. When you preach, you think people know what you are saying. They don't know. You think I'm. Some of you thought I was making up. Igbokoda is a real place. In which state now? In Ondo State. Igbokoda, we imagine that as anointed as I am, with all the book in my head. Then I said, the new parish priest, Reverend Benga Shafe, Igbokoda. The moment you see it, your eyes will be blurry. Because you thought they put you in Maryland. Even Ibadan is a serious matter. Igbokoda. Is it close to the riverine area? You're already swimming with the fishes in the ocean. Oh my God. Igbokoda say, when they are recognizing pastors from that church, they call all the Lekki churches, Maryland, Ontario, New York, and other men of God. Hey, you are from Igbokoda. If you fill the cathedral there to 5,000, is it a big deal? It's not. It's Igbokoda. Go and fill the one in Lekki to 5,000. Our pastor, Pastor Egotome, praise God. Let's celebrate him. Yeah, he's, because he's from Lekki. If God wants to really train you for something great, even though where he's taking you is the palace, he will take you to Igbokoda first. Because you are the next chairman, MDCEO, you must understand every process of the production phase. You can't sit in Abuja and be saying, yeah. You don't know what people are going through. So when you are thinking that, oh, God has forgotten me. See, it doesn't take God 3 years to change your life completely. 3 years, you will look back like, is it the same thing now? You can't see any trace of all your past suffering with where you are. But God will not commit to your hand if you are not patient. Listen to me. The eyes have not seen, and ears have not heard what God has prepared for them that love him. Another version said, for them that wait for him. You have to learn patience. Some of the frustrations we are experiencing as Christians, because we are not patient. It's impatience that makes somebody to be, what's that thing they play by the main road? Lottery. Lotto. I think lotto is different from lottery. They are Baba Jebu, levels of anointing. Levels of anointing. Just go there, say, Palm 5. I heard them say it, I don't know what it means. Say, Palm, you say, how do I know? Say, Palm 5. Slot 26. And you see the seriousness with which they do what they do. In fact, if you have been where somebody won, where somebody wins like 30,000 or 100,000, the guy will be telling you that I have to go. No, I will not hear any story because those other guys I will pay to, they are very fraudulent. Say, let's go together. He will call his friends. Hey, Owoda. They are looking for the money because before you win, 1,000 people have lost. Impatience. MMM came, did what they wanted to do. You didn't learn. COPT came. For those who know, COPT is, if you don't know, don't worry. It's okay. It's not a Bible verse. Did what it wanted to do. Some people are still not learning. There was a brother. And he might be watching now. We spoke on the phone and he said to me, oh, I invested $12,000 in a particular investment. I just descend. You know, not God, I just descend. I said, go and take your money out. He said, no. Prophet, don't say anything. I said, go and take your money out. You know, once you have been beaten, you know, once beaten, twice shy. But when you have been beaten twice, there are some things you can... See, I do now. I knew what God was telling me. I just lost money. I wanted to buy something online, and the thing did not deliver. So under that anointing was when the person called me to say $12,000, maybe $15,000, and I said, "Go and collect your money," because that anointing was very sharp. At that level, you are going to. 4 days later, he lost the money. The brother saw me, he almost wanted to break my head in the cage. I said, I don't know. He now said it was the prophecy. I said, I didn't give you prophecy. He said, he was angry because I told him 4 days before. You see, anything you are producing or anything you are making and you are not offering any sense of value, you are a thief. Have you ever asked yourself how Bitcoin rises in the value it claims to? What are you people selling? What are you buying? What are you selling? That thing is 30 something, 40,000 or whatever, to a dollars, one, that you've never seen. Just that they told you that that's what you have. Have you ever wondered why the governments don't want to hear that word, Bitcoin? Do you know the owner of Bitcoin? Do you know it? Do you know the person? They just told the thing is there. The day that thing goes, that's the way, you know. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't go into digital products. So I'm just telling you that most are the root of whatever it is we say we are doing, that you are keeping money somewhere, is impatience. I would rather go for a skill in UI UX 100 times than put ₦1 in Bitcoin. You may not agree. I don't have a problem with it. I'm just telling you. I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem, and I don't judge people who do it. I'm just telling you that somehow, we don't know what we are selling. Patience. If you have the opportunity, if somebody gives you a gift of one Bitcoin, take it. Take it. It's God's gift to you. But just be aware that you don't even know what you are selling. When you are learning a new skill, do you become a master of it in a day? So why do you think that patience is not God's way? You get married today, they tell you, Mr. and Mrs., you are now the wife of somebody. Have you learned? Do you know what it means to be a wife? Every other thing was rehearsal. It's now. You will now know what it means to be a wife. It is now you will know what it means to be a husband. The only certificate you get without actually learning anything. It's like Bitcoin. They give you a certificate. Say you're a man now. You're a woman. But because you saw your father who was a professional boxer and he used to practice on his wife, so you just felt this is how a man should be. A man should be strong. A man should never say I'm sorry. You have to learn patience. If you want to work with God, you have to be patient. There are times you will pray 3 hours, 4 hours. God will not say anything. You continue the next day, you pray. God is training you. Sometimes when you pray, you will go back to God and weep. Because you prayed and you thought God gave you an assurance that that thing is settled. Then you now go to the other, you know, office and you get a very stinking or letter or response. And you're just like, God, this is not what you told me. Learn patience. If you want to live long, learn patience. The life of a man does not consist in the abundance of things that he has. It's in the Bible. Now, what I'm sharing with you now is not a suggestion, is the word of God. We have a generation now that frolics around God's word, but they don't really have the intention of obeying it. Please understand that God is a king. And when wherever the word of the king is, there is power. That means there must be obedience. Patience. Tell your neighbor, be patient. Tell your neighbor, be patient. No man can attain to the full stature of Christ without patience. Have you wondered why some of our parents now, they are very quiet, they don't talk. Like Oju Tiri. The eyes have seen. Before now, they tell, something is happening through Lere. You enter a bus, you take bike, pa, you are there. What's there? They say, okay, you get crashed. Now they just tell sometimes you say, okay, you sit down. So let me check on the internet. Let me check Google Map. Before now, any conference where they are sharing light and sound revelation, you are there. Oh, so someone of God is coming from America. You are there. Even though you go late to your own church, but you rush to the other place thinking that there's an American anointing. Those people in America you are following are asking us what we are doing. Do you know why? When Papa Egin came to his books, came to Nigeria, and we all subscribe to Papa Egin, If you want to be a balanced Christian, follow Egin. People don't know that Egin believes in deliverance. They don't know. Then a very funny story with me yesterday night. He said there's a particular brother who goes to a Rema graduate. Eh? Rema graduate. When you say somebody is a Rema graduate, that means he has been properly taught. Do you understand what I'm saying? A student of Egin. So they invited him to an MFM meeting to attend. So he went with his friend. When he got told me, I laughed. I almost entered the gutter. So they now started praying. Whether it's my father or it's my mother. That's not my case. Die! The moment they started praying like that, you know, they taught in the word of God. Say, no. It can't be my father, it can't be my mother. So the guy started speaking in tongues. Stand up, my brother. Let me show you what I'm saying. So all of them held their waist. Hold your waist. So they were praying. They faced themselves. They were praying. Two. But this my aching brother. Huh? Shakadabala. 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 You know, there's a way you pray. You don't want to look like you disagree, but you are just speaking in tongues. Only for the brother standing beside him. He just turned suddenly. Are you the one they sent to me? Ah, I just heard the guy. Yeah, the guy said, no, I'm not the one. He heard this. They started praying. Shook. He said he prayed from Monday to the next VG. Say, are you the one? He said, no. Are you the one? He said, no. He said, ah, why the way you are here. He just grabbed. You know? He said, because the way you are praying, maybe you are the one they sent to. The way. You cannot stand beside me like this. If you want to pray, you must pray. Say, are you the one? He said, no. Hey, are you the one? He said, no. Say, you are standing like this. He grabbed the brother. Shook him. The egging brother said, shaka. Ah, father. When they catch you. From that day. When they invite back to you, we ask, what's the name of the church? You know, as funny as that story, it actually happened to somebody. The guy was so mesmerized. We are not talking about Egin here. We want to pray. We want to pray. If you don't have a problem, go home. This place is for those who have serious problems. Not for them to say, actually, that's scripture. When they follow you, you wake up. When Egin came to Nigeria, he met a particular revival here. We were not without God here. There was CAC, revival, here. Ayo Babalola. And the prophets of CAC and some of the white garment churches, they were already here doing wonders, raising the dead. But they didn't know too much of doctrine. So when Egin came, this is faith. This is baptism of the Holy Spirit. They started learning certain things. But you see, the Americans who brought this thing to us, they only follow faith. We know power. So what we did was we took the faith and power, we combined it. And became more powerful. That's why it is Nigerians going back there to preach to them. Say, you know, God is a good guy. God is a good guy. He got to me and told me, he said, a pastor came from America and said, the problem I notice in Nigerian churches, you guys don't preach about love. Love. I said, oh God, this place is a war zone. We are men of war. We are not people of love. Oh my God. I say, the man say, Nigerian church, you guys have, you know, you have lots of people where don't preach love. I got me to laugh. He's like, oh, this man doesn't know where he is. Oh my God. You don't know where you are. Say love. Love. We don't speak through our noses here. Because we fight three devils. When Papa, what's this evangelist that went to India from the US? T.L. Osborne. When he went to India for a crusade, because people confuse hearing the word of God for being empowered. Because you've listened to Egin and listened to something. You learn Egin. I'm a student. Egin was the first person that taught me when I became a Christian. But you must understand where Egin stops and where power starts. If you want to be a balanced Christian, follow Egin. But Egin is not the Alpha and Omega of Revelation. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He taught what he knew. Yes, sir. There are some things we know. Egin will learn from us. Yes, but we honor him as our father. T.L. Osborne heard some of this powerful revelation, went to India. Jesus, carried his big Bible. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Whosoever believes in him. Those Hindu priests, they laughed at him. They brought out their own Hindu book. Say, our own book is as big as your own. Because he bought a very big Bible. Jesus. And in those days, when evangelists preach, they'll be raising their Bibles. Jesus. Jesus. They have the way they speak. Jesus. Those people are, when they said, this one doesn't want to understand what we are saying, they levitated into the air. Those Hindu priests, they went into the air physically. Say, come and join us. Do you understand the English I'm speaking? They went into the air suspended. Your Jesus is all, yeah, come do like us. Say, it's not by jumping on this, it's not by levitating. Say, oh God, your Jesus can do anything. Come and join us. If your Jesus can, if you can do this, I will burn my book, follow you. He was disgraced. You see the issue of power. God will not commit power to an impatient person. Call you any small thing, you destroy. Jesus went to a particular city and they restricted him from coming in. And two of the disciples said, let us call down thunder to destroy these people. Jesus said, no. The spirit in you can destroy, but you must not allow it. It has the power is there, but you exercise restraint. Say you don't know the spirit, and his son, he gave them a nickname, Barnabas, sons of thunder. Because of their anger. Father, give me power. Give me power. Go and read 2 Peter first. To your faith, add patience. When Osborne got back to the United States, he was so frustrated. He didn't want to hear anything about God. He didn't want to hear anything about the Bible. He sat in his room, locked himself. After some time, his wife came and said, oh, there's a great evangelist in town. You know, for somebody that just got back from India, disgraced, then I tell you that, oh, Pastor Gwenga is in town. Going to be a citywide revival. Has he gone to India? Because you can stay in your comfort zone and think God is where you are. Do you know the kind of thing God is thinking about this morning? This Ukraine war. How many people died last week? How many of them are born again? Oh, people are going to hell. What of Russia? That China, how do we? You now came. Father, I wrote that exam my faith. Oh, go and sit down. Let us see road and know those who we are talking about. Yes, there's parity. Your own destiny, just for you to come and say, God did it. Shame my enemies. People are really dying in Ukraine. God is thinking, if this war ends now, what will it take us to set up new structures there? That's the way God is thinking. On a global scale. Then from that global scale, it trickles down to your own role in that situation, in that scenario. So there's a great citywide revival, God's servant, evangelist. What's that man that great evangelist of all time? No, in the US. Billy Graham. The wife said, let's go and receive of God's word. The guy was angry. He locked himself after he decided to go. And he saw the simplicity with which the word was presented. Not like if he was competing with any Hindu priest. Because sometimes we spend more time trying to prove that the other person is wrong. We now lose the time and the grace allocated to us to bring redemption. then they will not take us to a level where our own faith cannot go. They will say, if you know you are, come and drink Ailala water. If you know you are strong, you believe in your God. Even in Ondo State, the corners of the earth in Ondo State, pastors use Ailala water to swear. I'm telling you. But they are pastors. If there's a quarrel now, did you touch this man's wife? No. Did you say, okay, bring Ailala water? Say, because they don't believe your God. Because you will talk for money tonight, no power. So bring Ailala water. Then they will warn you. If you know you stole that goat, don't drink. No remedy. If you drink, no remedy. They will warn you. If you want to say, I know why I am in Christ. And you can't tell Ailala shine. You know who you are in Christ. The moment you drink that water like this, your stomach could be swelling. Say, Pastor, I don't know what's going on. I know what is going on. You went to Ailala's house to be testing God. The word of God was presented in such a very simple and powerful way. That is how I know that you are not powerful simply because you can speak grammar. You can use big grammar, smart ways of explaining scripture. Does not mean you have power. Go ask Pastor Adibu. T.L. Osborne got back home. He was humbled. Locked himself in his room. Said, I'm not coming out. Started praying. Until Jesus appeared to him. Said, Jesus appeared to him and looked into his eyes. Stared at him. Didn't say what disappeared. But he knew that power had entered him. He knew. He said, no, something has happened. Something has happened to me. He said, Jesus looked into his eyes. He looked inside. Say, something entered into me. Carried his Bible, went back to India. He did not allow those people to land. Before they came out with that, in the name of Jesus, blind eyes. The Hindu people were the ones, the priests were the ones who got healing first. Come and drop your Hare Krishna here. Gather everything. Kneel down. Let me pray for you. That was how the revival in that city began. There are some things that I only learned in patience. If he had come back and rushed back to start preaching all over the U.S., he would never learn, he would not know why he failed. This generation, we are given to too much talk. Either we are speaking grammar that nobody understands, or we spend 6 hours, 7 hours explaining something. You are going to preach this Bible for the rest of your life. You slow down. You want to preach Genesis to Revelation today? Today. Do you know how many years it took them to compile that Bible? Slow down. Because at the end of the day, people are hearing, but they are not coming to learning. Patience. There is no stone that is so hard. The water of patience will cook it. To cook it, it will become soft. To become soft. Even in marriages. No matter the turmoil you are going through, there is no travail in a mind that patience cannot fix. 11 years, marital crisis ended just because God stepped in. But if they had walked out when they did, if somebody had left that marriage, you would never have known the salvation of God. Somebody tried to stab her husband. Somebody that I led to Christ. Tried to stab her husband while sleeping. And after they were divorced, he's now posting on Twitter. I thank God that I'm a new woman in Christ. And I told my wife, she's not a new woman. She's looking for the next victim. She's not a new woman. There's a sense in which what you are going through can make you feel you have changed. But you have not. That's why you need a pastor to look at you. An apostle can come here now and declare the word of God. It's a pastor that will tell you, say, you know, you have not changed. It will draw your ears. That's why people don't like pastors. They want to be going from meeting to meeting. Patience. It takes patience to sit down with something that is not working and tell yourself it will work. It takes patience to sit down, marry a lady that just has school sat, and you tell yourself she's going to attend school, you register in open university, and she's taking one class after that. It takes patience to have that kind of faith, to wait. Anybody can claim to have faith, but do you have patience? Because one of the major indicators of faith is patience. Let's pray. I want you to receive grace. It's not something you can do in your own strength. I want you to receive grace. Receive grace to come into the realm of patience, so that you will not abort that which the Lord is doing. Receive grace. Receive grace. If you want to go far with God, you need to be patient. This generation don't know patience. They know Facebook, they know so many things, but they don't know patience. Your life is a beautiful story that God is telling. Be patient. Your life is a beautiful story that God is telling. Be patient. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Peter made a statement. He said, if these things be in you and abound, he said, you will not be barren. And one of those elements he was referring to was patience. That if patience abides in you continuously, if you make a life of patience and restrain your way of life, Peter said, you give me that verse in 2 Peter chapter 1. He said, you will not be barren and you will not be spiritually blind. Declare, I will not be blind. Patience will take you out of rat race. You won't compare yourself with anybody again. You are just walking your own path. You are not in a rat race anymore. Say, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you, they will make you. You will neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of Christ. One of those things is patience. When we fast, next month we are going to be fasting as a church. It is patience with God is testing. If you have never fasted to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, next month you have an opportunity to try. To do it consistently. Fast. It's not good that the person that is praying for you is fasting. Meanwhile, you pounded down in the morning, amala in the afternoon, and akpu in the night. How do you want that prayer to work? The way the anointing is coming is not the way you are receiving it. Patience. Temperance. They all go together. A woman that is patient is the one that stays in her husband's house. And a man that is not patient will not have a wife to stay with him. Be patient. A patient man never loses a battle. He never. Because he is not even intending to fight with you. Receive grace again. Ask God for grace. Peradventure, you aborted the program of God for your life at some point because of this issue of impatience. Ask God for grace. And if you are going through a tough time now, maybe in your marriage or in your office, your business, receive grace now. Receive grace. It is the one who is patient that will take the day. If you give up now, you have no crown. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Let's rise to our feet. Father, in the name of Jesus, as your children, we ask for the grace to be patient, to be temperate. We will not jump ahead of our time. We will not run ahead of you. Impatience will not give us Ishmael. We will wait for our Isaac. all our previous efforts will not be destroyed because of impatience. We receive grace to be strong and to be faithful to you in our relationship with you and in every area of our lives. In the name of Jesus. Now, oh, somebody beside you. I want you to receive grace for the person you are holding. The grace to be patient. The grace to be established in patience. So that the work of God will not be aborted. Hold the hands of somebody and pray for that person. Pray out of the depth of your heart. Open your mouth. Let the person hear you praying for him. Pray that grace will be established in the life of your brother and in the life of your sister. Pray that grace, the grace of God that brings patience, will be established, that the work of God will not be aborted through impatience. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. You are going to pray for that person you are holding. Whatever challenge this person is going through, let grace be released for a solution today. Whatever challenge this person I'm holding is going through in his family, in his life, let the grace of God be made available and let there be testimony. Pray, pray. Pray for that person like you are praying for yourself. Pray for that person like you are praying for yourself. Whatever you are going through, in the name of Jesus, let the grace of God bring instant solution. Let the grace of God locate you with testimonies. Let the grace of God locate you with testimonies. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. While still holding the hands of your brother or your sister, you're going to pray for yourself. The scripture says, those that wait patiently for the Lord shall renew their strength. I want you to prophesy into your life and into the life of the person you are holding that there will be a renewing of strength. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Let there be renewing of strength. Let there be renewing of strength. Let there be renewing of strength. You will not be tired. Your harvest will not be taken from you. Receive fresh impartation of divine strength. Say, those that wait patiently on the Lord shall renew their strength. Will receive the release of strength for everyone in this meeting and for those that are joining online. The impartation of strength. The impartation of strength. Receive strength in your feet. Receive strength in your hands. Let your mind receive strength. You will not be fatigued. You will not be tired. For the Lord is making a way for you. The Lord is making a way for you, my sister. The Lord is making a way for you, my brother. You will not be tired anymore. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I have a word of the Lord for somebody here. The Lord said, if you embrace this message of patience, that it will rebuild the walls of your family. It will rebuild. That means the walls have been broken down. But the Lord says, if you walk with him and follow this message and let him guide you, not you trying to fight for yourself, the Lord said, it will rebuild the wall of your family. That means the plan of the enemy for your family to be disintegrated will not happen. I thought your amen would be louder. I wish some of you know what Satan is planning against families. If the devil wants to mess me up, it's not in the message I preach. It's just for my wife to come out and say he's a hypocrite. That's all. To be a sinner is better than to be a hypocrite. Because when you're a sinner, you can go on your knees and say, I failed. And the church will pray for you. But when you're a hypocrite, it means the things you yourself you are preaching, you don't follow it. So we don't want Christians that speak in tongues, but their character do not measure up again. We don't want them. Anywhere you go, they say, oh, that's a Harvest World member. Oh, no wonder, it's a Christian. One of the pastors I preached for in the north, some of his their members came to Lagos. And the pastor said to them, go, when you get to Lagos, ask for Pastor Gwenga. The pastor is a big man of God. He's a bishop in the north. He said, ask for Pastor Gwenga. Then he made a statement. He said he's a Christian. So when they came to Lagos, they told us he's a Christian. I said, what does that mean? He said, because our bishop said not every pastor in Lagos is a Christian. That's a very strong statement. Huh? That your name can be Malaika, Mike, can be angel. Your name can even be angel. Your if I adopt a boy now, I'll name him Bishop. I'll give him. I like the name Bishop. That'll be his name, Bishop Angel or Angel Bishop. But it doesn't mean anything. But you know, when they make that statement, I became a bit humble that somebody told somebody that it should go to me that I'm a Christian. So even when I want to be angry at the person, I say, they say you're a Christian. So I calm down. The fragrance of the knowledge of Jesus Christ is going to be released over us. That wherever we go, not just when you are demonstrating that in the way we relate with people, pure Christian conduct. In the name of Jesus. Those of you or those of us that have the anointing for anger, you will leave this meeting, you will be remembering patience. And you should say a loud amen. No? Because the situation in this country warrants for anger. And sometimes you're always angry at the wrong person. Instead of saying sorry all the time, why don't you stop saying sorry and just change? Just change. Come on, declare I'm a changed man. So, we are raising Christians. This is the year of our covenant establishment. God will only establish those who are building according to pattern. I want it to be our testimony that wherever we go here, they say, that person is a Christian. And some of you must have experienced it before. You walked into a place, they say, you're a Christian. What has that experience before? You walk into a place, just say, you are a Christian. There's an aroma that follows you. I went to a particular place and there was some issue came up with money. And the person I was meeting for the first time was an agent. You know, we were trying to get a house. And he said, oh guy, you cannot do that now. You're a pastor. I said, are they writing it on the face? I said, I will change jam for you now. The guy laughed. He said, you're a pastor. I said, do you know me? I said, I have to change my dressing. Believe me, it's not even the dressing. There was a hymn we used to sing in Yoruba.